Why will you not believe me? Why do you still stand afar off? Why are your homes still in ruin? Why can't you love one another? The songs that I chose this night were to lead you closer to the cross. I let you know how much I love you, how much I respect you. But yet still you will not share your love with one another. Husbands, you do not love your wives the way you ought. Wives, because you're not loved, you don't respect your husband the way my word tells you to. Children, you're disobedient day after day after day. What do you think that I need to do for you? I'm not going to do any more. My son hung on that cross. He suffered much pain for you. But yet you still look at that blood that ran down the cross and you think there's nothing to it. You say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. It's the way you live your life. The way you treat one another. No respect, no dignity, no love. I have called and I have wooed. I have given grace after grace after grace after grace after grace, but still to no avail. When you're standing on the sidelines watching my glory fall, when you see the downtrodden and the broken coming in and being blessed, don't curse me, but you will. But don't curse me because I've given you time after time after time to get it together. I have showed you love and you know you didn't even deserve love. I've showed you grace when you didn't deserve grace. But yet you will not show your brother or your sister, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father. You will not show them love or grace, but yet you expect me to pour it down upon you. What are you in this for? Where do you think you're going with it? It is my way or no way. I cannot change your will. I don't even want to. You wonder why your finances are bound up. Your love walk's not right. You wonder why there's sicknesses in some of your bodies. Your love walk's not right. Husbands and wives, I've called you to show the world what families are all about, but all they see is more themselves in you. Wives, why can't you forgive and forget and move on? Why do you keep harassing and tormenting your husbands? And husbands, why do you keep staying with a wife that you can no longer love, but you keep looking here and thither for another woman to make a mess of? You make my church null and void. When the world looks at my church, they don't see me. They see themselves manifested in my house. I brought this song service together this night to draw you close to me. But yet, as I looked down through the portals of heaven, I saw all the division, all the strife, all the unlove, all the unforgiving, and all the ungrace. There's nothing more I can do, church. So I'm moving on. I'm moving on to a people who are broken, destitute, downtrodden, and have not yet been shown the love of the Father. And I will raise them up, and I will use them, and I will take your mantles, and I will place them upon them. For they will know what it is to suffer, and they will know what it is to be loved. And they will move on and they will work for me. You have transgressed my laws over and over and over and over again. And then again and again and again. And yet you still say, show me more grace. Show me more grace. I promised the church that I was going to remove my grace. And I am at that doorway right now. I am removing my grace from the church. And I'm taking it to the world. And not one of you will be able to say, he did not show me enough grace. This chapter of my church is closed. And a new chapter is being opened even this very night. And I'm going to bless, and I'm going to bless, and I'm going to bless those who have yielded to my commandments and my word. And I will use them, and I will raise them up as mighty towers that others can run into. You know, I think that God is very upset with the body of Christ, because Saturday when I was out, he wept over the people. And want no... You don't have the word with you, do you, Chris? Brother Chris has it. It was after the service all over with, and really, and everything was closing down. Just God moved upon me to give a word to them. I was sitting there at night, and I just felt an evil settle over me. And God said, I want you to go in the back of the room, and I want to show you something. So I'm back there and stood, and he showed me people. Let me see you as he sees you. It wasn't nice. It wasn't nice. I'd like to know why you come into the house of God. I'm not being ignorant. I just want to know why you come into the house of God. If you're going to come in here and go back out there and be the same as you came in, then why do you keep coming? What is it that you're after? You know, you think, well, you know, the glory will drop and we'll just get all knocked on the floor and I'll be changed. That's not what it's all about. It's all about changing when God's glory isn't dropping. I was all excited. I thought God was going to do something. Well, he is doing something wonderful. He's getting your attention, I hope, for the last time. Go ahead, Chris.
My children that came in here this day, do you not understand that this world is lost and it is dying and it is slipping into hell every second? Will you please take the gifts I have brought forth this day? Will you go forth and minister to this lost and dying world? Will you please lay down your flesh, pick up your cross, and follow me daily? I will strengthen you. I will bring you forth. I will do the works through your hands, through your lips, and through your feet. Will you please be the vessels of honor that I can use? Will you please answer the call this day and go forth and let me use you as a sign, a wonder, and a miracle?
And God was weeping. He was begging those people to be used by him. That should never be. That's sad. We should be so on fire and so excited for God that he just tells you something, you just go do it. Because he gave a good teaching about the gifts and how he wanted to use them in their giftings. The body of Christ really has pushed God back to the wall. And now he's upset and he's angry and he's come out fighting. I would be very careful in my walk with God from this point forward. Because you don't have any more time. You don't have any more chances to slip up. I'm not talking about with the young people that are just brand new in here. I'm talking about the old people who have been sitting here for years after year after year, service after service, and still hanging on to your sins. Tonight I'm going to teach on your appointed time awaits you. You have to know that right now in this season, God's been training you all these years, and I hope you haven't messed up. He's been training you all these years for this time. This is the appointed time for you to be placed into your ministries, placed into your callings. And you know, you could, from what God said tonight, you could have messed up and you're never going to go there. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know, you've been sitting under the anointing long enough and you've heard the word long enough, excuse me, got a sore throat, that you shouldn't be in sin at all anymore. Every bit of sin nature in you should be gone. And as I was standing back there, God said their whole problem is they won't crucify the flesh. They're blaming on the devil and they're blaming on somebody else, but really and truly, they have to control their own flesh. I won't control it for them is what he told me. And he says, and they won't control it either, and they just let their flesh just have its way. And that's sad that you keep letting your flesh have its way, because your flesh is going to take you to hell. I guarantee you it will, straight to hell. It's time whenever your flesh rears up, you tell the flesh it's dead and make it stay dead. And don't let it act out when it wants to act out. So appointed times, Matthew 24:14 says, And Father God, I thank you that your anointing is already on this teaching. You've already come here and visited us tonight. And your angelic host are walking to and fro throughout the chairs, Father God, to do whatever needs to be done within your children's lives. And Father God, you just do what you have to do, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ron, you really need to be very serious about this teaching. The body of Christ needs that. They needed it 2 months ago. But if we do put it forth, if you do put it forth, we can't do it till January, and that's a shame because people have been asking me, when are you going to do it? We need it desperately. So when God gives you assignment, you don't wait till you're ready to do it. You get yourself together and you do it knowing that God will be with you, and he'll place the anointing there, and he'll do it. Many things God asked me, don't I have to do it overnight? I can't wait till I pray through and fast and do all this now. I'm supposed to be already prepared that whenever he calls, I'm just ready to go in too, right? Matthew 24:14, and this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. When I was the first day I was born again, God gave me this scripture. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, in other words, the abomination was in the house of God. Ministers were messed up. The body of Christ was messed up. And God gave me that scripture right the first day I was born again and said, daughter, my church is going to hell in a handbasket. And from that point on, he kept showing me the sin in the body of Christ. I couldn't believe what he was showing me. I couldn't believe then when I looked through the eyes of Jesus what I was seeing, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And you know, one thing it bothers me about the body of Christ is men and women alike that come into the house of God seeking whom they can destroy. You know, if you're a young, strapping man, you're looking at every piece of woman flesh that walks in here, trying to jump over onto him, trying to get next to him. That's not a God. And there's a lot of women in the house of God just looking for a man to lay with, and you're out to get whomsoever. That's not of God. I've watched that now for 30-some years, and it's sickening in my eyes and in the eyes of God, too. We're not in the house of God to do that. We're in the house of God to get healed. We're in the house of God to be delivered and set free. We're in the house of God to be protected. And I'm sorry, but the house of God does not protect the sheep, because the deacons are messed up. The bishops are messed up. You know, whatever, they're messed up. The song leaders are messed up. And that should never be. God has been trying all these years to get a house of God that was holy. Not just one or two, but the whole entire house holy, so he could drop his holy fire in there and then send in the lost and dying. Then they would become holy also. Amen. God's been telling me it's the time he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff now. In the house of God, he's going to start removing people out of the house of God because they won't straighten up. I read somebody else prophesied that today too. I read that again today, but he told me that over a month ago. He's going to start doing that. So I don't know why you come into the house of God, but if you come in for the wrong reasons, well, then you might as well just go and just do your thing. If you're in here trying to get your act together, then get it together. And don't be looking around seeing who you can lay with. I'm just going to put it out there because that's where it's at. Or see who you can destroy in the process. Get yourself together and stay together. And if you're in here and you're praising the Lord, don't go back out there and lay with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and say, I'm a child of God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Acts 2:17 said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm going to stop right there. You need to understand that right now God is wanting to release prophets into the nations. And unless you're living a holy life, he cannot make you a prophet. He cannot release you to the nations. So don't even try to be released if you're not living a holy life. And verse 18 said, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, if you call on the name of the Lord, you're supposed to be saved. I don't see too many people saved. If you're saved, then you're not walking with the world. You might still have some problems in your life, but you're not out there carousing with the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There will be one law. Okay, that was a scripture. There will be one last great outpouring of mercy during the end times. This supernatural season of grace has been predetermined. And God told us tonight his grace has been removed from this church. So he knew the day and the hour. And he's been telling us that for over a year, that one day he was just going to up and remove his grace. So this supernatural season of grace has been predetermined. It is an appointed time of the Lord. We need to understand that an appointed time is an open display of the sovereignty and power of God. In it, we discover with absolute certainty that nothing is impossible for God. We need to understand that this is a season when God fulfills his will on earth right now. And in the process, he will fulfill his promises and the hopes and dreams of his people. He's been telling us he's going to do that. And this is the appointed time to do that. You need to quit going back into your old lifestyle. You need to quit going back into your old mindsets. And you need to keep the mind of Christ and stay in the presence, where, in the present time where God has you. All right? Psalm 102:12 says, "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the time, the set time, has come." God has been telling us this is a time he's going to show us great favor. I don't believe you people believe what God says. I just believe that the body of Christ just, you know, I don't know what you do believe. But this is the set time. And he told us at the beginning of the year, this was the year of Jubilee. But how many people in here really believe this is a year of Jubilee? And this is a year that you're going to, all your promises are going to be met. God just doesn't speak, just, he's not a human being. You know, he only talks when he needs to talk. And he only tells us the truth. He doesn't tell us some fairy tale. There is an appointed time coming for you and me. If the Lord has promised, he will certainly bring it to pass. Abraham and Sarah had waited in faith for a quarter of a century for the promise of God. Finally, as they neared 100 years of age, the Lord told Abraham, in Genesis 18:14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." What he told him he was going to have, they were going to have a child. He said, "At the appointed time, I will return to you," right? 1 year later, at the appointed time, Isaac was born to aged parents. Genesis 21:1-2. I was just reading today, now women are having babies at the age of 50. And I got to figuring it up. By the time they're 70, their child will be 20. They said it's no longer 40. Now women are having the babies at 50. So, all you menopause women in here, you might get pregnant. Amen. Just a little laughter there. Don't get. They're twisting your mouth all out of shape and everything else. Genesis 21:1-2. I'm raising kids at my age. I didn't bear them, but I'm raising them. Come on. God is a God of impossibilities. Genesis 21:1-2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, according to the word, there are appointed times. Okay, well, let's go back to Sarah. Sarah just thought that was the most impossible thing in the world for her to bear a son. But God, he said, at an appointed time, which we find out it was a year later, came back, and she had her son. All right? I was wondering why God had to come back at the appointed time in order for her to get pregnant. That's the way my mind works. Do we have another Virgin Mary here? You know, come on. Yeah, I don't know why that happened that way. Now, see, you can all go home and think about that and search your scriptures, you know, find it out. According to the word, there are appointed times of judgment, Mark 13:32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And they're talking about the time when Jesus Christ comes again. But you know, when that time comes, that'll be judgment day, right? The phrase appointed times most frequently represents a time preset by God, a time preset by God. When he reveals wonders, plans formed long ago that unfold with perfect faithfulness, you find it in Isaiah 25:1. God told me now for it's been 2 years, I'm coming through with a big broom and I'm going to clean your house up. And so last night he said, this is the appointed time. You watch and see what I'm getting ready to do to your home. Amen. And I'm excited. I waited 2 years for this. Demons may stand arrayed against the Lord. Nations may align themselves to fight him. It does not matter. Because Psalm 2 verse 4 says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. So Psalm 2 and 4 tells us, he who sits in the heavens laughs. God's up there laughing at the stupidity of some people that allow demons to rule and reign in their lives. And he laughs at them because they think they have the last laugh. But guess who's going to have the last laugh? God. Then Psalm 119:91 tells us that he makes all things his servants. So you can read that. That is what it says. Even his enemies' plans for evil are reversed and made to serve the purpose of God. Even his enemies' plans for evil are reversed and made to serve the purpose of God. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. All right, let's just stop there. I'm going to use Reverend Ron as an example again. The enemy got him into his mess, planning on destroying him. But now God has reversed that thing. And if you go through with what God's calling you to do, it'll be for God's good. And the enemy will be defeated. See that? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for God, for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Once Brother Reverend Ron got his act together and started serving God, then this applied to you. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. See? God works everything out. Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. See what it said? They're talking about Jesus here. Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. The determined purpose and foreknowledge. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. See, what does it say? God already had foreknowledge of this, and he already predetermined it. Isn't that what we just read? That what was going to happen to Jesus? Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So see, God knows, has everything already planned out long before it ever happens. He has foreknowledge, and you think, well, I just lived my life the way I wanted to. Well, you might have, but God already knew what you were going to do from the time you came out of your mother's womb. And he knows what your destiny is, whether it's good or bad. He still knows what your destiny is. He knows whether you're going to serve him, and he knows if you're not going to serve him. But you know one thing, what God does, he continues to love you even down your road, the road of destruction that you walk on. He still loves you. You're not going to be able to say when you end up in hell, well, God didn't love me. That's not true. It was you that determined. God had a predetermined plan for you, but it was you that twisted that plan, and you did your own walk. God had nothing to do with your own walk. If God gave you a vision, a spiritual hope or dream for your future, there will be an appointed time when that which God spoke comes to pass. Hear that. God told me 30-some years ago I was going to be an evangelist. I was for a while, but he drew me off the road. He said, now you're going to go back out in the field again. My calling is an evangelist. All right. So God said he's getting ready now to send me back out the road again. At his appointed time, he drew me in because he knew what I was going to go through and he didn't want me out there to be eaten by the wolves. And now he's getting ready to put me back out there again. It's his appointed time. All right. Thus the Lord assures you, us in Habakkuk 2:2, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Why? That the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Let's read that again. See, we think it's delay. In our eyes, it's delay, but in God's eyes, it's not, because it's not his timing. Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Whatever God has told you, this is what I was talking about. Record it, put it down. Why? That the one who reads it may run. So you keep going back and reading it. What God you said, all right? The one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. All right, now, let's just take titles. God doesn't like titles, by the way, but yet he gives us titles. He says he really doesn't like us to get out there and use it to exalt yourself. God told me one time, I was walking back and preaching, and he said, you know, daughter, we work in a fivefold ministry. And I thought, okay. Then a couple of years later, he said, daughter, you know, you are an apostle. Because he knew I wasn't looking at that. He knew I wasn't thinking in that area. And he said, you are an apostle for me. You don't see that anywhere on any of my brochure. You know, and it took me 30 years for God to speak that to me. So what makes you think if you've been in the service for 6 months, he's going to call you an apostle? Get out of here. You have not paid any price to be an apostle. All right? You know, and it really makes me mad. Like everybody, when I first was born, everybody was a bishop. Bishop so-and-so and bishop this and bishop that. And I said, God, where did all these bishops come from? He said, they are self-appointed. So don't put no name and title in front of your name unless God himself speaks it through somebody else, not you. Because you'll call yourself everything. Amen. Because that's where the enemy works. And he said, they're self-appointed. They are not my bishops. They're self-appointed. And one time I went to a church to preach. And all God did, he started out about, these people call themselves bishops. And I said, they're not bishops. They're self-appointed. You know, half the church left. I did not know there, but he was in there was a minister. And I didn't know the bishops got up and left until after it's all over with. They have not invited me back either. But God really moved that night. And see, God wanted them people to know you went out there and you put a title in front of your name that did not come from me. Now, see, the ones that stayed were also bishops, but they also knew that God spoke to them, told them they were wrong too. You know, if you're really humble and like God brought the message forth that you're self-appointed, the ones that got up and left, they were prideful. And the ones that stayed, they knew they made a mistake and they wanted it rectified. It's okay to make a mistake, but then make sure that you repent and get over it, all right? If God gave you a vision, is that where I'm at? No, if you have a vision. All right. If you have we read Habakkuk 2:2-3. Let's read that again because I want you to get this in your spirit. You know, when people would come to me 10 years after I prophesied to them, they say, Pastor Barbara, everything you spoke to me came true. Everything. They waited till it all came true and they would come and tell me that. But it would be 10 years later. So what they got spoke to that, they took a period of 10 years for it all to come to pass. All right. So record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, whatever God's told you. Why? That the one who reads it may run so you don't get weary. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It's not happening right now. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. In other words, God's working on it. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. God told me the other night that Barbara Alsep has finally found her niche in the body of Christ, and she's so excited. You know, she was excited, and I was thinking about her being excited, and that's what God told me. So see, her appointed time is now. She now knows what God's calling her to do, and she's excited. She's going through it for it 100%, and that's wonderful. See, if you really don't know what God's calling you to do, you run here and there and everywhere, trying to do everything, and you won't accomplish anything because you're too busy trying to fulfill your plans for your life. And you might have grown weary because you want to be out there in the road right now. You know, you want to be everybody calling you, knocking your door down, wanting you to preach, because after all, you've been sitting and you've been trained and you know that you have the knowledge. Do you really? You know, I'm just saying, let's think, you know, and I'm not running you down. I'm just saying, think about this. If God has not yet opened the doors and you're not yet ready to walk through them, there's still something he either has to knock out of you or place in you. But there's something he's trying to do to you before he opens the doors for you. All right. If you have a vision or promise from God, that vision also has a time of fulfillment. Write it down and place it where you can see it every day. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come to pass at the appointed time. Appointed servants of God. When the Lord manifests himself openly in an appointed time, he actually moves through a power grid he established in hiddenness during the time of preparation. In other words, how many of you has God said, I'm working behind the scene? Don't grow impatient. I'm working behind the scene. And this is what I'm saying here. He actually moves through a power grid he established in hiddenness behind the scene during the time of preparation. While he was preparing you, he was working behind the scene, getting everything ready for you to walk into. His work appears suddenly, but its preparation may have taken many years. You know, suddenly you're going to, you know, he's going, all right, there you are. You know, suddenly we'll have our building, you know, and he's been promising that for years, but suddenly we're going to have, but he's been preparing us and he's been getting the staff ready, getting in. He's having Sister Nancy working, finalizing all the important things of how a church should be running everything. And, you know, talking about that, Sister Nancy, you know, she was getting that. What did you call that? Daily instruction or something. And, you know, it was real long and everything. And then all of a sudden, boom, she doesn't get it no more. And so I was sitting at the computer the other day, and God said, the reason why she's not getting it is because that assignment's finished. I gave her all the words to give. She has the book, and it's published, and that assignment's finished. And she was thought she had done something wrong, and that's why she wasn't getting them anymore. So now I told her that last night, and she was happy. So see, all right, so he has us on assignment, and then all of a sudden, we're not anointed to do that no more. The anointing is lifted, and we go on to something else. I mean, God, we don't go on, but God takes us on to something else. He shifts our lives constantly if we allow him to. He shifts them if we allow him to. But if you want to stay in a box, say, this is what I want to do, and do it now, you're never going to do anything because you never put God in a box. Let God do whatever he wants to with you. Amen. So his work appears suddenly, but its preparation may have taken many years. Either way, an appointed time flows through appointed people. See, you have to be appointed to do the things that God wants you to do. Or, you know, you can't go out there on your own and do it. You just can't. Isn't that true, Barbara? We all know Barbara has jumped into many, many hot tubs and got scalded a couple times. Amen? All right, now she's where God wants her. All right. He predestines the time of their breakthrough in advance, even as he works silently within their hearts in preparation. You know, he's working in advance to get it to break and to get it all together while he's working quietly in your heart before he sends you out there. I said, God, how come you pulled me off the road to be an evangelist? Because I love that. I come alive there. And he said, because you're too naive and they would have eaten you alive. So I had to pull you in and bring you back in and settle you down so I could teach you how the church really operates. And I'm so glad he did, because he's, you know, he's always right. They would have destroyed me, because I can't believe how bad the church treats their own. I really can't. Consider the Lord's word to his disciples in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Why? That you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Remain. Remember that word, remain. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Why? That you would go and bear fruit, and your fruit would remain. At some point, every disciple feels that he or she chose Christ. Yet the deeper truth is that God chose us before the foundation of the world. I've taught you that. It's in the Word. And has been working in us. At the appointed time, we choose Christ, but only after he chose us. He chose you, he called you, and now you have to choose to follow him. I'm going to use little Brittany back there. Brittany came into the house of God, what, 2 years ago, Brittany, or longer? And then she, you know, she stayed for a season, but then she went out on her own, right, Brittany? And now she's come back. Because God said, now's the time when the people used to be here will start coming back. And are you being blessed this time? Great. See, she's growing. But she had to go out there for a season to do whatever. And then finally when God worked with her, then she came back. Do you see how God does this? It's not a bad thing to go out. I mean, you get messed up when you go out. But the bad thing is if you don't listen to God and obey and come back. All right? Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See what it says there? He blessed us with everything. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Would you believe that God predestined that these two back in the corner would ever get together? When I found out they were going to get married, well, God told me, and I said, he's a wild as a goat, you know? And he's going to take on 6 kids and a wife? Get out of here, God. But that's how it worked. How many years has it been? Isn't that amazing? It's been 4 years of hell. Ask them, they'll tell you. Right? Getting adjusted and taking, you have to deal with all these women and, you know, and this, you know, it hasn't, I'm prepared being honest, it hadn't been easy, right? Yeah. See? But God knew that they were going to meet and get together, and he knew the trouble they were going to have, but he also knew the little thickhead back there was going to change his mind and start serving God. Amen. I'll never forget the first night he spent in my house. He came into my bedroom and settled down in my easy chair. He said, well, here I am. And I looked at him, I thought, you little snot. He was really cocky, like he was somebody. But see, he was in Christ Jesus, amen. I loved you and nourished you, right? So, God knew there was one day he was going to be sitting in my bedroom. Well, you know, we sort of live in our bedrooms. But he knew that he was going to be there with his little cup of coffee, sitting there all, you know, all cocked up in my chair. He knew all that. I didn't know that. It's a whole lot of things God never tells me. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, because you would have never done it. You know, I don't mean that. I mean, a lot of things God's asked me to do, and I've done it, and it's been pure hell. And I said, God, why didn't you tell me this is going to happen? Because if I would have told you, you would have never taken on the assignment. And he's right. I'd have backed off many times. And y'all would too. Amen. If you really knew what you was getting into. All right, we could not even come to Christ had not the Father drawn us. And John 6:44 tells us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see this? And I will raise him up at the last day. Not a one of us sitting in here today could have come to Jesus Christ, not unless the Father drew us first. Amen. Yet he chose us and appointed us to bear much fruit. We were a messed up crew when he called us. Yet he called us. What does it say? He chose us and appointed us to bear much fruit. I expect to see each one of you have the biggest fruit tree in the world. Yes. Amen. Some have apples, some have pears, some have cherries. You don't have all apples. Amen. The same power that works surrender in us and then inspired our faith continues to work in our hearts throughout our days, appointing us to bear fruit. In other words, God is constantly dealing with us to bear fruit and to stay on the path of holiness that he's called us on. The idea that we can just sit quietly in church is a deception. If you come here, this church, you belong here, you know that that is a deception. You don't sit quietly in this church. You may look at your life and feel unfruitful, but God is not done with you yet. All right? You might even think, I don't even have a tree. Every one of us is a tree. And we either have good fruit or in bad fruit or indifferent fruit, but we do have a tree. And God's able to prune that tree to make it bear the good fruit that he always preordained us to bear. Do you believe God has chosen you? You have to believe that in your heart. Then believe also that he has appointed you to bear fruit. All right? The enemy's work. One may argue, but I know people who were good Christians and have fallen away. Yes, but in many cases you will find that at some point they fell into deep disappointment about some failed spiritual expectation. And that is so true. Disappointment is not just a sad emotional state of mind. Deep disappointment actually can sever our hearts from faith. It is the enemy's work. Demonically manipulated disappointment can actually disappoint a person from God's destiny for their lives. And that is yes, and it is amen. Let's read that statement again. Disappointment is not just a sad emotional state of mind. Deep disappointment actually can sever our hearts from faith. It is the enemy's work. Demonically manipulated disappointment can actually disappoint a person from God's destiny for their lives. And I can guarantee there's some of you in here tonight that you just about went there. You got so disappointed that you were ready to step out of God's will and not do what he called you for to do. I have known many who were doing well moving toward their appointed destiny. The future God had for them seemed almost close enough to taste. Then they became disappointed in someone or something. Never become disappointed in someone or something. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will not be disappointed. Because you'll say, well, that's just dumb flesh acting up. And you won't be disappointed. I'm serious. That really does work that way. By accepting into their souls this demonically manipulated disappointment, their faith turned dormant. By accepting into their souls this demonically manipulated disappointment, their faith turned dormant. Now, if you read today's word that God gave me, it talks about your soul and how important it is to God. A bitter winter took over their souls. God has spoken to us and said, do not die in your winter months. Okay? It is here, even in the throes of disappointment, that the righteous learn to live by faith. In other words, when you're in your winter months, whenever God seems as far away as he can possibly get, you have to keep your faith going. I've been through winter months. I know some of you have been through winter months, and it's the worst time in your life. It feels like God is nowhere around. You feel like he's totally left you, and that nobody loves you, nobody understands you. But you have to keep your faith going, and you just have to keep. I love that song, Keep On Walking. Get up and move, keep on walking. Because I'm telling you, the minute you stand still, the enemy's going to take you out. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Who told Habakkuk this? God did. Then he said, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, he's saying, if you're a just, righteous person and you'll live by faith no matter what kind of hell you're going through, no matter how cold your winter month is or how dark and unseeming it is, you will live by faith. But the proud, they'll walk in their own flesh and they'll do their thing their way. And I've heard people say, oh, well, you know what? If that's what God's all about, then I don't want him. You didn't want to go through your winter month. So you left God and went to the devil, and now you're going to end up in hell, totally tormented for the rest of your life. And when you're down there, you're going to wish you wouldn't have made that choice, but it's too late. The choice has been made. All right? We all face times of disappointment, don't we really? Everybody in here, including me, we all face times of disappointment. We will all go through times when the promise of God seems like a foolish spiritual fantasy. At these given times, we need to understand that God is doing a work in your soul to cause you to trust Him, but we will still feel abandoned and cut off from your calling. Are you listening? Did you just hear what I read? At these given times, we need to understand that God is doing a work in your soul to cause you to trust Him, but we will still feel abandoned and cut off from your calling. We might pray, Lord, you promised that those who believed in you would not be disappointed. Master, you know all things. Look at my heart. I am full of disappointment. The Lord will simply reply, your life is not over. This applies to some people in here tonight. Of course, we know that, yet the spell of disappointment has flooded our souls with darkness, causing us to conclude erroneously that God is done with us. I can't count how many times I said, God, are you finished with me? I have, because you know, it just seemed like He's totally left me. I said, God, if you're finished with me, please tell me and I'll just sit down and I'll stay in the house of God, but I'll just sit down and quit this. Sometimes He answers and sometimes He doesn't. I'm glad when He doesn't answer, because He'd like to slap me at that point, because He's told me so many times, I am not finished with you yet. We haven't even yet begun. How many of you been there? You know, and so when He's quiet, I think He's gritting His teeth and saying, boy, I can't believe she asked me that question again. Like I said to you, what do you come in the house of God for? Come on, we all do those type of things, right? Listen very closely. Is that right, Matt? Satan can stop our destiny if we accept the power of disappointment into our lives. Once we accept the heaviness of a deep disappointment, backsliding is often not far away. You see, disappointment cuts us off from our vision, and without a vision, people perish. I was there. I was so disappointed, and you know, God asked me to do something. It turned out just totally opposite of what I thought it was going to be, and I really became disappointed, and I was really to sit down and quit. Not quit God, but just sit down and quit my ministry. And God got a hold of me and shook me real good and said, get back up again. Come on. Are you carrying disappointment in your heart? Renounce it. Forgive those who have let you down. Have you personally or morally failed? Repent deeply and return to your Redeemer. Say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to remove from your children. Well, Holy Spirit, I ask you to remove. I want you to say this to yourself. Holy Spirit, I ask you to remove from me the paralyzing sting of disappointment. Say it again. Holy Spirit, I ask you to remove from me the paralyzing sting of disappointment. Now let Him take that disappointment out of you right now. You know, how many of you have been disappointed in yourself? You know, you've done things that you thought you would never, ever do. Satan come by and he sideswiped you and caused you to do something that you never thought you would do. And you became disappointed in yourself and said, how could I ever do this to God? Forgive yourself. Get that out of your spirit right now. All right, tonight the Spirit of God has come to release you of the effect of the disappointment. That's what He's going to do tonight. He's going to release you from the effect of the disappointment. He reminds you that your appointment with your destiny is still set. All right? All you have to do is believe. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. You know what keeps me going? After all these years of work, I've walked with God all my life. And then to end up failing God and watching some whippersnapper that just got saved 2 days ago go to heaven and I went to hell. I there's something in me that said, I will not allow that to happen. And I'm so glad that I have that in me. I'm not going to be down in hell and say have the devil say, look up there. You know, they made it and you didn't. Amen. I just there's a tenacity in me that just I'm sorry, the devil can't disappoint me to the place where I'll lose my salvation. So I said, tonight, the Spirit of God has come to release you of the effect of the disappointment. He reminds you that your appointment with your destiny is still set. So if you've had disappointment and you want God to release you of the effect of the disappointment, the altar's open. He's going to give you that special touch. He wants to set you free from all disappointment. And I'm saying and failure. He said there's an oil, a special oil that he's pouring down upon you tonight. And this oil is the thing what's going to set you free from the effect of the disappointment. God said tonight, whenever you leave here, God's going to give you new guidelines to live by. He's going to be speaking to you and giving you new guidelines, because the old guidelines have got you in trouble.